Amen. It's a good place. Even Christ went to the wilderness to refresh. Told the disciples, you know, pull away. And so I'm just grateful to be here. And I will join the rest of the men and be barbecuing on the 4th and on today, no matter what. So we got to barbecue some burgers and some dogs will be cooked. So pray with me, saints. Father God, we thank you. We thank you, God, for this time. For that's all it is. God, we thank you for the body of believers that are in this room, that we can be edified, that we can do what you will us to do. For it's not the masses, it's the one. Just the one person who wants to do God's will. Bless us today, God, as we can be doers of the word, not just hearers of the word. Bless us now, for time is winding up and you're looking. You're judging all men. Every soul will be judged for how they act, not how they think. What will you do with the life? Bless us today with the word that will cause us to act and be about the business. Bless now. We turn it over to you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. Happy 4th of July. Before the 4th of July. It is an amazing time because we celebrate independence and we celebrate those who have served. But most of all, we celebrate the fact that we live in a nation that gives us an opportunity to serve the Lord. For it's God, amen? To God be the glory. To God be the glory. Where would you find a word to match a nation that's in conflict? The Supreme Court decisions and everything else that's going on. We have our political arena. We have our police issues. We have our economic issues. We just have issues. But is there, can a Christian live in this world in a way that glorifies God and be at peace? How do we balance the two or the three or the four? I would say meet me in the book of John. John chapter 13. We'll start in an interesting place. John chapter 13, verse 36. There are four gospels, and the fourth gospel is the book of John. It is one of the most powerful books in the Bible, but in it we'll find words that may be a blessing to any Christian right now. How to keep it together in 2023. John 13, starting at verse 36. When you get it, say amen. Amen. I'll keep reading, and then because my time is always running, I'm going to say John 13, 36. Simon Peter said to him, Lord, where are you going? Jesus answered him, where I'm going, you cannot follow me now, but you shall follow me afterwards. Peter said to him, Lord, why can I not follow you now? I will lay down my life for your sake. Jesus answered him, will you lay down your life for my sake? Most assuredly, I say to you, the rooster shall not crow till you have denied me three times. Then in John 14, where we'll really begin, let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. For in my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would not have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go to prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you to myself. That where I am, there you will also be. And where I go, you know the way. Thomas said, Lord, do we not know where you're going? And how will we know the way? Jesus said to him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. If you know me, you have known the Father also. And from now you know him and have seen him. Philip said to him, Lord, show us the Father, and it is sufficient to us. Jesus said to him, have I been with you so long, and yet you do not have seen me, Philip? He who has seen me has also seen the Father. So how can you say, show us the Father? Do you not believe that I am the Father and the Father in me? The words that I speak to do, that I do not speak of my own authority, but the Father who dwells in me does these works. Believe in me and in the Father and the Father in me, and also believe me for the sake of the works themselves. Most assuredly, I say to you, he who believes in me, the works that I do also. The greater works, these he will do also, because I go to the Father. And whoever and whatever you ask in my name, that I will do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. If you ask anything in my name, I will do it. If you love me, keep my commandments, and I will pray to the Father, and he'll give you another helper, that he may abide with you forever. Amen. If I would put a title to the text for this, our short time together, I'm going to call this one, How to Keep It Together in 2023. How to Keep It Together. How to Keep It Together. being a Christian in 2023 is one of the most conflicting times because we are arguing about everything. We're arguing about the sex of human beings right now. We're going from he, she, they, them. We're doing everything under the sun. We're seeing corruption in every part of our world, not only in politics, but even in the church. There's conflict everywhere. But does being a Christian, how are we supposed to keep it together? Come with me now and you'll find out in the book of John, there were always problems with Christians keeping it together. In John chapter 2, Christ said something that amazed me. In John chapter 2, he performed his first miracle. He says, it wasn't his time. He turned water into wine. And he told his mother, it wasn't my time in John chapter 2. But in John chapter 7, he had an accident. There was an incident. And he said they were going to kill him. But he told them, it wasn't my time. And he got away. John chapter 8, there was another incident where Christ got into an altercation about the gospel. And he told them, it wasn't my time. But when we come to John chapter 12, it changes. He says, it is my time. And then all of a sudden, we come to John chapter 13, where he has to tell the disciples, I am about to leave. Can you trust a God who leaves? Whew. Can you? In 2023, the one thing that most Christians feel, we feel almost lost because we don't know who we can trust. You cannot trust the government. You can't trust the police. But can you trust the preachers? Can you trust the church? This is my first point. It is hardest to trust in the midst of confusion. Trouble comes along with the world just like air. Trouble will always be here. It's never left this world. Verse 36, Simon Peter says, Lord, where are you going? I want to go with you. Jesus says, you cannot go with me, but you will follow. He says, Lord, I'll give my life. And he says, you will not. You will deny me three times before the rooster crows. And I wrote this down. The worst thing about in this world is that there is trouble. And even in this text, in this very text, Jesus knew everything that Jesus is saying has not happened yet. Jesus knew trouble was coming. When you all look at the news and you go to the Weather Channel, when the weatherman says, next week we're going to have a storm coming and it's going to be whatever scale it is and it's going to be a big one. And guess what people do? People prepare for a storm. Well, let me be your weatherman. You've seen storms in 2023, but you've seen nothing yet. More storms will come. As believers, you need to make sure you have your umbrella. In this very text, what you're finding out here is that Jesus knew something was coming. The shadow of the cross is right there on Jesus's back and death is imminent. Jesus did miracles, fed 5,000, did great things. But the problem now is Jesus is about to die. But that's not the real problem. In the text, Peter says, I want to go with you. And Christ says, no. 12 people gave their life for Christ. They followed him. They ate with him. They left their families for him. And now he was walking out on them. Do you remember the first time when someone broke your heart? You were in love. You were like, it was a beginning. Oh my God, this is going to be the best relationship. Oh my God, I just can't. I can even see babies in your eyes. You ready to build and they're ready to escape. You remember, amen? Does anyone remember? Raise your hand if you remember. Has anyone ever had their heart broken? Amen. Then you don't know what it's like to be a disciple of Jesus Christ. The leaven, not counting Judas, had given up everything. Peter leaving or not failing Christ was not really a big deal. Peter had issues from the very beginning. Peter fought with all the other disciples. That wasn't the problem for the other 11. The problem in the text is Jesus was leaving. In John 13:33, he says, I am going to leave you. Peter only said what the others were feeling. in this very text, what we're beginning to realize that there's transition, that in the life of a believer, that no matter how much you are a believer, God knows that somebody in this room is going to go through trouble and you're going to go through problems, that death is around the corner, that disease, that sickness. I want to put you on notice that there's something coming, but I want to ask you one simple question. Is it possible for you to weather these storms? In Mark chapter 4, there's a story that's told where the disciples, when Jesus says, get on the boat with me. You might remember. And he says, we're going to go to the other side. And they want to go to the other side. And Jesus goes down in the stern and he goes to sleep. And then all of a sudden these waves come and these winds start blowing and everything goes crazy. Jesus is still sleeping. But guess what happens? They are afraid for their lives. So they go down the stairs and say, Jesus, do you care? Do you even care? We're about to die. Jesus gets up and he tells the wind to stop and he tells the waves to shut down. He controls everything. And he asks them a question. Why did you not believe? Where is your faith? That was trouble on the sea. In this text, we have trouble on the land. My brothers and my sisters, just like that text, we too have trouble on the land. Do I still have any believers?
Amen.
Can I get a hand clap of praise? I'm still a believer. In 2023, we have trouble on the land. We have trouble everywhere. There, you can't tell me a part of our nation. We do not have trouble. But I got a question. Do you believe? This is my little second point. The most important thing is to protect your heart in 2023. In 2023, I want you to promise me this. Protect your heart. Protect your heart. You have to have a personal faith and a personal God that can give you personal relief. You cannot have the faith of your mother, your father, your cousin. You got to have a personal faith. You have to. Jesus says, let not your heart be troubled. Believe in me. And my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would not have told you. Jesus says, let not your heart, it's not a collective, it's an individual. Let your heart not be troubled. In the Greek, it's an imperative. He's saying, trouble is here, but I'm telling you, do not let trouble stir you. Because that's what trouble does. Trouble stirs you. The most important thing you have is your heart. When your heart is broken, you are broken. And you live a broken life. And you, an unhappy person is unhappy. And they say this, hurt people hurt people. In this text, Christ is saying, let not your heart be troubled. Proverbs 3:5 says, trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not into your own understanding. Proverbs 4:23, keep your heart with all diligence. It's something about the heart. It's something about the heart. And this is personal to someone in this room. Someone in this room, I want to tell you, yes, trouble is here. Yes, trouble is coming. But the Bible is telling you, I don't want you to be disturbed. I don't want you to be irritated. I don't want you to be unsettled. I don't want you to be worried. I don't want you to be alarmed. I don't want you to be discombobulated. I don't want you to be frustrated. I don't want you to be mortified. I don't want you to be perplexed. I don't want you to be terrified. I don't want you to be upset. What I do want you to be is to believe. I'll say it again. In 2023, everyone around you, disturbed, irritated, perplexed, worried, mortified. But I'm not talking to them. I'm talking to you. I'm talking to you. I'm talking to you. I'm talking to you. And I'm talking to you. As bad as the world is, Jesus Christ is demanding that you still believe. Does that make sense? When we were kids, I'm looking at the little girl right there. When I was a little boy, when I wanted to go outside, I'd tell my mother, everyone else is playing. And you know what my mom would say? Does everyone else live in this house? So I got a question for you. Everyone else in the world is acting crazy. I got a question. Who do you belong to? So what does God want you to do? Say the word believe.
Believe.
I gotta believe no matter what happens. I gotta believe no matter what the economy is. I gotta believe, no matter what our race relationships are, I gotta believe, no matter what's going on in our economics, our political, our religious arenas, I gotta believe. Can someone say that? I gotta believe. I don't care what's going on. I just need you to put that in your heart. In your heart. I gotta believe. That you have to believe. Christ is speaking and he's saying, I am the bread of life. He's saying, I am the resurrection. I am the way. I am the truth. But he's saying, I need you to believe this. What we're really talking about, Jesus is revealing that somewhere down the line, you have to have an active faith. Do you believe your car works? How do you know? How can you prove your car works? What do you have to do with the keys? No, you got to get out the house and go where? Get in the car, sit in the seat, and what do you have to do after that? Turn the key. And guess what your faith's got to be like? You got to get out your house, get in your car, and come on to the house of the Lord, and let God bless you. We're talking about an act of faith. Christ is about to leave, and what he's really saying is, you cannot have a faith that sits. You have to have an act of faith. You have to have a faith that's able to move. You have to have a faith that can handle trouble. You have to have a faith that can handle disappointment. You have to have a faith that can handle hate. You have to have a faith that can handle when people don't understand you. I need someone to clap on it. I have to have a faith that can handle trouble. I have to have a faith that can handle disappointment. I have to have a faith that can handle irritation. I have to have a faith that has thick skin. I have to have a faith. I'm not talking about anyone else's faith. I'm talking about your faith. You see, belief will take you places. Let me tell you why. In this very text, never in the entire Bible has God ever said he's taken anyone anywhere. The Bible says, Jesus says, in my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would not have told you. But where I go to prepare a place for you. Wait. You're leaving to prepare a place for who? For believers. In the Old Testament, God told Abraham to build a nation. In this very text, Christ is saying, to the man or woman who's willing to stand for him, to live for him, your future is secure. Whoever can believe in God to the very end, we're not talking about a double-minded person. Whoever can believe in God, who can stand on the word. I believe in God no matter what's going on. I believe in God. I don't care what's going on in this world. I don't care if everything else fails. I'm going to be a believer. Whoever that person is, you will go to heaven. Whoever is able to be faithful to God to the end, whoever you are, I see, because see, everyone doesn't want to believe in God. Some people believe in God conditionally. But there's some people who says, I am going to serve the Lord until the day I die. And whoever you are, you have a place somewhere. You have a place in glory. God is not going to leave you nor forsake you, because guess what? He's going to prepare a place for you. When you have your funeral, there will be nothing but people shouting and screaming and saying, praise God. It's a homegoing. But if you are not a believer, they'll be shouting and screaming and trying to figure out what happened. The question is, what are you? What are you? Are you a believer? Christ was about to leave them. He hadn't left them yet. And he's telling them, in my Father's house, there are many mansions that I'm going to prepare a place for you. I'm going to secure the future for anyone who's willing to stay with me. You see, that's a good marriage. I've been married 28 years. And if I would cheat on my wife, that's not a good illustration, so I got to figure another one out. If someone else would cheat on their wife, my wife would kill them too. I mean, will you stay with someone who's unfaithful? Say it again. Will you stay with someone who's unfaithful?
No.
Say it louder. Will you stay with someone who's unfaithful?
No.
Then why would God? Then why would God? Why would God? God is looking for someone to marry. To take from this side to the other side. Whoever you are someone who can tolerate anything. You're someone who finds the good in everything that happens. You're someone who says, this is the day the Lord has made and I will rejoice in it. You are someone who says, I will bless the Lord at all times. Your faith and your future are secure. 1 Thessalonians would say these words to you. 1 Thessalonians 4. But I do not want you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning these things that have, these people have fallen asleep, lest you sorrow, and others who have no hope. For if you believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so God will bring him those who are asleep in Jesus. For this we say by the word of the Lord, that we who are alive remain until the coming of the Lord. Basically what it's saying, that a believer goes from life to life. A believer, a faithful believer, goes from life to life. What is going on right now, you call it trouble, but let's call it a test. Whoever is not faithful to God will not be faithful, but whoever is, will be. I have a question. Are you faithful?
Yes, sir.
Are you faithful to God? Can you praise God? I'm going to pray. I'm going to serve God to the day I die. Hey, I'm going to serve God to the day I die. You know what? Without my husband, without my wife, without my kids, without money, without my health, I am going to serve God until the day I die. What we're talking about is the second coming, even the rapture. But we're talking about a time where God is going to come back for his own. Whoever in this room is a true believer, your future is so secure, it's not even funny. Woo. Your future. Let me give you my little last point, and you'll love this one. I call this one, the sovereign hand of God is working even right now. The sovereign hand of God. The sovereign hand of God is working. Through everything that's going on in 2023, God's hand is working. Christ would say in verse 12, most assuredly I say to you, he who believes in me and the works that I do, he will do also, and greater works than these, because I go to the Father. And whatsoever you ask in my name, that I will do, and the Father may be glorified in the Son. This text is one of the most interesting texts, because Jesus is saying, I want you to get comfortable with trouble. I want you to get comfortable with trouble, and I want you to know that I'm a comforter. That Jesus is a comforter. That he will give you strength for the journey. But what it's really saying is God is expecting something from you. God is expecting something from the believer. God is expecting, he tells these people all these things, and he's saying, even though you got all these problems, I'm going to give you all these promises that I'll never leave you, I'll never forsake you, I've got a home in glory. But better than that, whatever you ask in my name, I'll give you. What Christ is saying, you got problems on one hand, and you got the blessings of God on the other. You have the problems of the world on one hand, and you have the blessings of God on the other. Which do you choose? Do you choose to wrap yourself in the problem that the world is evil and nobody's okay and everyone is corrupt and nothing is right? Or do you live in God, that this is the day the Lord has made, that I am a representative, that God, you want me to be a light in this dark world, that I am the salt of the earth? Which do you choose to be? Which one are you? Jesus told them that someone would be able to ask for anything and my name, and he would give it. When Jesus washed the feet of the disciples, heaven bowed down to man, and God washed the feet of man. But what you find in the next chapter is Jesus speaking over men and saying, even in the midst of the darkest days, you're blessed. You're blessed. As bad as the world is, you're blessed. You're blessed. No matter what's going on in this world, someone in this room, you need to hear this. You're blessed. You're blessed in your coming. You're blessed in your going. That God chose this life for you to live. The question is, can you rejoice in it? That God says, whatever you ask in my name, I'll give you. That the sovereign hand of God is working. It's almost like a pen has been given to you. a pen, and guess who gets to write the story? Guess who gets to write the story of their life? What will you pray for now? Whatever you ask for, will you pray for healing of the sick? Will you pray for restoration? What will you pray for? If in your hand, God says, whatever you ask for, I'll give you, what are you going to ask for? The sovereign hand of God. It is nothing more than God doing. In Mark or Luke chapter 9, the Bible says that Jesus sent people out two by two. And he says, I give you all power. Two by two to do whatever, to heal, to cast out demons. Two by two. But in this text, it's no longer two by two. Guess what it is? One by one. This is one of the most powerful texts, because what it's really saying is, in the midst of everything that's going on, how do you keep it together? Keep focused on the promises of God. And Mark or Matthew chapter 5, it says, blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of God. Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are those who mourn, for they shall be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they shall see. Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. I wish that the world did not have trouble, but it does. But the world has trouble, but it also has Christ. If you, how do I sum up this whole situation? How do I make sense of all that's going on? It's kind of simple. There's a story in Matthew 25 where there was a great master who was leaving. He was leaving to go to another land. It's the story of the talents. Have you heard the story? You haven't heard the story. You'll love this one then. There's a story in Matthew chapter 25 about a master who was leaving to go to a foreign land. He was about to go, and he had three servants. He gave them each talents, gifts. One of them had five talents, one had two, and the other had one. And he says, I will be back one day. One day I'm going to come back, and I'm going to ask you, what did you do with your talents? The master left. The one who had five, the one who had two, and the one who had three. The master left, and the one who had five, he went out and he made five more, so he had ten. The one who had two, he invested and he ended up getting four. But the one who had one didn't invest. The master left, though, but the master came back. And the master asked the one who had five, what did you do? He says, Master, you gave me five, and I made ten. I made five more. And the master said, well done. Then there was a servant who had two. He said, Master, you gave me two. And guess what I did? I got you two more. And the master said, well done. Then it comes to us. The one who had one talent, he said, because I knew you were a person who did not plant, but wanted to reap where you did not plant, I took your talents and I hid them. And he says, why did you do that? He said, because I feared you. And he called that servant wicked. Why is that important? You have one life to live. You have one. What will you do with your life? Will you be a representative for Jesus Christ? Will you use your one life to represent Christ, or will you use your life worrying about the issues of the world? Will you be political? Will you try to be correct? Or will you just be a believer and a Christian that one day will be able to go spend your whole life with eternity with Jesus? What will you be? What will you do with the one life that you have? Will you waste it trying to run behind money, behind jobs, behind people, behind issues? Or will you spend your life serving and glorifying and magnifying a God who's saying, I'm coming back to get you one day? What will you do with the one life you have? That was the situation for the disciples then. And that's the little situation you have right now. Would you mind standing? There's a story of a man who was in a bodybuilder. This guy, this built guy. This guy was so built. He was a world-class bodybuilder. He went to Africa as a missionary. He went to Africa, and the African king says, "What are you?" He says, "I'm a bodybuilder." And the guy was looking. He was looking really good. He says, "So what do you do as a bodybuilder with all those muscles?" And he turned around, and he posed, and he did that, and he did this. And the king says, "What else do you do with all the muscles?" So he did another one. He did this one, and he did this one, and he did this one. And you know what the king says? "You wasted a faith that cannot work, does not work. I charge you, in a world that is evil, that is unjust, that is unfair, I charge you to be the light of the world. God has put a pin in your hand. Nothing can stop you. The only person that's going to stop you now is you. It's not a color thing. It's a spirit thing. We are connected by spirit, not by color. We are connected not by politics. Are you a believer? Raise your hand. We're connected by spirit. That Christ died on the cross so we could be connected. That Christ says, there is no Jew, there is no Gentile, there is no black, there is no white. It's just Christian. That's all we are. That's all we are. We are just Christians. And either we will live as Christians or you will not be able to go to heaven. That's all you are. You are not your job. You are not your last name. You are what Christ said you are. You are supposed to be the light of the world. It matters not if you have children. It matters not if you're divorced. I don't even care what your sexual orientation is. You have to be what God needs you to be. He died on the cross to bring down all the walls. He died. He died on the cross 6 hours. Put nails in his hands. Put nails in his feet. So there would be no division. So he could say, one day, I can draw all men unto me. One day, God will be able to call people, white people, black people, young people, old people, Jewish people, Gentile people, Greek people, that one day he could call all people where there would be no more walls. That we could come together and we could pray together. Your nation is in turmoil. And it's not because of a color. It is because there are no believers who believe. You've forgotten why you are here. You are not here for politics. You are here that God's will be done. That's all you are here for. God's will be done. God's will be done. God's will be done. God's will be done. That's all you're here for. You've gotten caught up in the politics of this world. Jesus is not political. All he's coming back for are for those people who want to help the sick, to help the lost. All he cares about is to empower a man or woman with gifts that they can use to love the unlovable, to embrace the embraceable. All God is looking for is you. That's all he's looking for. The world is on fire, but you are. You're an indecision. Will you serve the Lord to the day you die? Will you serve the Lord? We open up the doors of the church now. We open up the doors of the church for someone to give their life to Christ. You see, if you do not know Christ, you are not living. You are dead. You have a dead life, a dead marriage, a dead relationship with your kids. You can't give nobody anything without Christ. There's nothing you can do. There's nothing you can do if you don't have Christ. Because Christ allows you to handle pain, handle struggle. It allows you. He allows you to go through all these things and still smile. Do I know I got a witness? I can say, the Lord has kept me. Hey, he's kept me. Cancer doesn't stop us. Divorce, separation, nothing can stop a child of God because God covers us. So we open up the doors for that. And we open up the doors for recommitting your life. The most easy thing to do in this world is to get confused and get lost. and get mad at God. God is not your problem. He's actually the solution. The minute you start seeing everything in your life, Lord, whatever that's going on, may you be glorified in it. Knowing that God will always work out everything for the good, your life changes. You're not worried about what you lose. Because whatever you lost, you can gain again over and over and over and over again. You lose nothing in Christ. There is no loss in Christ. I know I got an amen.
Amen.
So we open up the doors for that. And then the last one, we open up to prayer. Pray because trouble is here, but beloved, trouble is on the way. Our children are going to face things that we never thought we'd have to face. We can't agree on anything. Our world is unraveling. But are there any praying people, praying parents, praying grandparents? Can we pray that God would keep us as a nation? Can we pray? Are there any Christians who are in America right now? That's the question. If you're a Christian, can we pray? Can you come pray? Well, you ain't staying in your seat, but I just want some Christians who want to pray about the nation. Can you come? Can we pray? For your nation. You don't like the shooting, but you don't pray about it.
Amen.
You don't like the race relations, but you don't pray about it. You don't like education, but you don't pray about it. How can the world change if you don't pray?
Amen.
Let me ask you a question. Is it who we elect is going to change it? If God does not do this, if God can't do it, who can? I don't care if you go Trump, Obama, Biden, I don't care who you choose. Your nation is exactly where it is because you have not prayed for it. When my people are called by their name, my name, will humble themselves and pray, the Bible says what? He will heal what? So guess what that means? We spend so much time trying to decide who's right. Can you just make one circle if you don't mind? Because we're gonna pray this thing. One circle. May the circle never be broken. The future for her, for you, is in your prayer. It's corporate prayer. The devil has got us fooled. All these religions, all these groups. Jesus. Just Jesus. We just need Jesus. Amen. We just need Jesus. We don't need preachers. We need Jesus. We don't need no more preachers. We need Jesus. That's all we need. We need God to reign. We need God to do what only God can do. We do need no more people who need to be glorified. We need someone to say, may God be glorified. That's all we need to cover us. We are the most hated nation in the land now because we are indecisive. Every new president has a new agenda, but none of it is based in Christ. Christ! You have to pray for our nation that we have one single mind. That God be glorified. That America submit itself to God. That whatever God wants for us, let us be what God wants. Not what we want. That God's will be done. That's all we want. And our children and our children's children will be blessed forever.
Yeah.
Not somebody's children, but everybody's children. Isn't that what we want?
Yeah.
It cannot reign in someone else's life and not reign in yours. If we do not pray for all, then we all fall. It is one people. It's not two nations. It's one nation under God. That's what the devil has done. The devil has divided us. The devil has divided us to think that we're two nations. No. Anything that's divided will fall. And that's why we're falling now.
Yeah.
We pray for unity now. That this little girl would see a world that is better than the world we see right now, not worse. We do not want any more shootings. It's not about gun control. It's about life. Birth control, abortion. Abortion is wrong. We believe in life. Hey! That's what we believe in. It's not political. If someone had killed us, we wouldn't be here, right? It's just scientific. If you kill someone, they can't live. You can't pay bills. Pray with me, saints. Father God, on this day of freedom, we pray, God, that the children of God pray, God, your will. God, that America be bathed in prayer. That America be held accountable. Let America hold itself to the tenets of Christianity. Let America be a Christian nation. Finally, God. God, we pray, God, that God remove all these wolves that are in sheep's clothing. God, remove them, Father God. Remove them. Father God, our world is filled with these people who are driving us to the brink of destruction, God. In the name of Jesus, we declare better days, God. We declare leaders to rise up who have minds and heart of Christ. In the name of Jesus, God, we pray for our nation, God. We pray for our military. We pray for our world, God, that we would finally line up with Christ. It means whatever God gets glory out of it, let it be done. Whatever gives God glory, let that be done. Whatever it is that you desire of every man and woman in the circle, let us do it. And bless our lives, and bless our children, and bless our legacy, bless our next generation, bless our communities, bless our country, bless God. We submit ourselves to you now. May everything be done that God, you get the glory. Like the disciples, they had to submit to this, that no matter what happens, God, if it is your will, make it so. That we know that it will work out for the good. We may not see it as good, but as long as you do. But we only see dimly, Father. We want things because we're selfish. Help us with our inability to see beyond ourselves and see the will of God. May the will of God pervade the circle and pervade our country, that your hand will forever stay on it. May we have another army besides our army. May the angels and the army of God protect our nation, because we are serving you. Father, we need you. Our minds have been so entrenched with this division that we don't even know what unity means. Father, we need you in every circle, in every arena, that we can hold hands. How is it that everything can get updated, but our places and our cultures, we're still back in the 50s? Help us, Father, that we can grow together and be together and want the best for each other, not to hurt each other, but to want the best for every man, that anyone who wants something is not a threat to us. It's your desire for all men to do great things. I pray for the circle now. I pray for everyone in the circle, Father, that you make them use the gifts that you've given them. They have one gift. Let them be walking, talking testimonies for you, Father God. That the world doesn't need to have to see something on the back of their car. Let them see it in their lives, that their lives reflect Christ. Christ. Christ, that someone can say, I saw a Christian, not by what they wore, but how they lived. That our lives reflect you. May you be glorified, Father. Our world is going to a place we never thought. It is so dark. But Father, you declare we are the light, so we declare light. We declare hope for our nation. Hope on top of hope. We declare better days. We declare peace. We declare unity. We declare a nation that will give its life back to Christ. That your will be done. That we will seek you. That the church will not be a place that people abandon, but a place that people fellowship at. That the church will be the headquarters of America, not the White House. That the church of Jesus Christ. We love you, Father. Bless us now. Bless all that are in this circle. For there is so much that's waiting for them. But I pray the power of God, the anointing of God, the Spirit of God would be with them, that they would be able to have the courage and the confidence to withstand all that is coming. It has to rain. But you've given us an umbrella. It's the Word of God, that we cherish it, that we believe in it. But better than that, Father, that if we just believe in you, we believe. This is our prayer. Now unto him who is able to keep us from falling, your all-wise, powerful God.
May the people of God say amen.
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 Amen. Amen. Amen. There is, I've got to go, but I can only say this. Heaven is going to look like this. This is what heaven will look like. Heaven will not have one group. Heaven will only have people who are able to come together out of whatever they came from and lock hands and serve God. That's all your life is about. Nothing that you're doing, if it does not give God glory, it's wasted. Everywhere you go, I challenge you to be an encourager. Say hello to someone. Be nice to someone. Guess what that does? That glorifies God. Use your life. I love you. I thank God for this time. I pray I see you again.
Thank you.
Oh, you have a beautiful daughter.